بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، ما بعد. باب ما يقرأ في صلاة الجنازة: يكبر أربع تكبيرات، يتعوذ بعد الأولى، ثم يقرأ فاتحة الكتاب، ثم يكبر الثانية، ثم يصلي على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فيقول: اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد، والأفضل أن يتمه بقوله: كما صليت على إبراهيم، إلى قوله: إنك حميد مجيد. This is a chapter Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has brought on what should be recited in the Salah of Janazah. We find that there is a wealth of ahadith with regards to, as we've been discussing over the past few weeks, a wealth of ahadith with regards to maut, visiting the sick, particularly those who are very, very ill, the advice that is given at the time of death, the virtues of attending to the mayyit, the ghusl, takfeen, etc. Find that one is the hukam or the order of shariat. The other is the multitudes of benefits that Allah Ta'ala has kept in carrying out a particular injunction. One of the challenges that face us constantly is this test of fitna of the environment around us to convince us that there is some sort of permanence in life. We find that from the beginning, from Adam alayhi salam right up to Nabiyyu Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the fundamental efforts that the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam made was the effort on the hearts of humanity to convince us of the reality and conviction of akhirat. Find this muqabala of dunya and akhirat, that the world is temporary, and that the life of akhirat is forever and ever and ever. This is something that we need to constantly be reminded about. If you look in Quran, if you look in hadith, for example, if a person has to undertake a journey, make some sort of safar, or go and visit somewhere, and the place he has to go to, the journey is going to take place in 1 year's time, and there is a certain mindset that he has towards that. Then there may be some journey or some commitment that's going to take place in a month's time. And then there is, like, mashallah, there's a jamaat that has come for the weekend from Robertsham. Brothers would have went to sleep last night, many would have woken up for tahajjud, but pressing on the mind is what? From yesterday, that this morning I'm leaving for Johannesburg. I'm going to undertake a journey. So one is a journey, 1 year's, 1 year's time, one is 1 month's time, and the other is tomorrow. You find that the mindset, the preparation, the anticipation will vary according to the timeline. When Allah Ta'ala speaks about qabr, when Allah speaks about akhirat, when Allah Ta'ala speaks about my and your inevitable mort and death, we find that the terminology Quran uses is tomorrow, not 1 year's time, not 1 month's time. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha wal tanzur nafsum ma qaddamat lighad. Allah Ta'ala says, fear Allah Ta'ala and prepare and consider what you have sent ahead, lighad, for tomorrow. Maut, death, is something we are supposed to be constantly reminding ourselves, that this is innahum yarawnahu ba'ida wa narahu qareeba. You think it is very, very far away. Allah says it is very, very near. It's not something that is far away. This ghalba on the mind, on the heart, this convincing ourselves that there is no opportunity to delay, that we have to constantly be preparing. Akhirat, like we heard Friday night in the talk, Shab Ghazali talk, Mawlana gave the example, Imam Ghazali rahimahullah, that his whole masjid had to be filled with mustard seeds and a bird had to come every 1,000 years. Akhirat, forever and ever and ever. Dunya, very, very temporary. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he gave the example, he said, Mad dunya fil akhirah illa mithlu ma yajalu ahadukum isba'u fil yammi fal yandur bima yarji'. Dunya, when compared to akhirat, you, especially those of us from Durban, where there's a seaside, stand in front of the ocean. How far can the eye see? How vast is the ocean? Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa gives the analogy, put your finger, lift it up, how much water is taken out? Wetness, little bit of wetness. He said that's the dunya. The whole ocean is akhirat, but in reality that example is just an example. Because the ocean also is finite. Ocean is going to come to an end. Akhirat is never ever coming to an end. The problem, the challenge, one is nafs. Other is our passions and desires. And then is the oath which shaitan took. فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي لَأُزَيِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. I will beautify this world for them. I will convince them that there is some permanence in this world. But the world is the wetness. Akhirat is the entire ocean. Or if you want to make it even simpler, one is a grain of sand and the other is a huge mountain. The problem, when the grain of sand gets stuck in the eye, grain of sand is very small. Mountain is large. But when the grain of sand gets stuck in the eye, you can't see the mountain that's right in front of you. Such is our effort, involvement in this dunya, that it becomes difficult for us to conceptualize how real the akhirat is and how permanent it is. This is why this need to change the environment come in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And coming back to the ahadith we were discussing, to keep reminding ourselves. Because there are certain a'mal that are found in shariat and deen that not only carry great reward, the amal itself is nasihat. The amal itself is advice, it's a wake-up call. And one of the most effective a'mal that is nasihat and advice is anything that is exposes us to janaza, to qabr, to akhirat, exposes us to the graveyard, exposes us to the manzar and scene of mort and death, because this is a stark reminder for us. We find that, if you look, sahaba used to come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One is, like I said, amali nasihat, the other is qawli nasihat, the words or the advices of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Find that many, many ahadith, they would come and ask questions. Dullani ala amalin yubaiduni min al jannah yubaiduni min al nar wa yuqarribuni min al jannah. They would say, Ya Rasulullah, show me some action. Give me some advice, something that will take me close to Jannat, far away from Jahannam. Sometimes the sahabi would come, Dullani ala amalin la as'alu anhu ahad amalan ba'dak. لا أسأل عنه أحدا بعد. They will say, Ya Rasulullah, give me some advice, something that I don't need to ask anybody else after this, anything. So we find this asking of advice, taking heed, reminding ourselves. Quran is a reminder, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَى تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah says, remind, فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَى تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Because in a reminder there is great benefit. We constantly need to be reminded. One, ostensibly it was a youngster, came and asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Sini, Ya Rasulullah, give me advice. What was the advice that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him? Advice that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him, he said, Ud nafsaka min ahli al-qubur. Count yourself as if you are already in the grave. That is the reality. It's not 1 year away, and not several years away that we are making plans and plans and plans. Count yourself as if you are already... This advice was not given to old person. It's not only the old that die. It's not only the sick and the infirm that are dying. It's not only the retired that are dying. The busy are dying. The young are dying. The healthy are dying. That is the reality. of this constant challenge that faces us. Man ahzamu an-nas, man akyasu an-nas. Who is the most intelligent amongst you? One riwayat, man ahzamu an-nas. Who is the most astute? Who is most alive? Who has the greatest perception or understanding of reality? And the question was put to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What did he say? He said two things. Two things will tell you whether you're intelligent. Never mind what the whole world thinks, what the whole world may think, or who the whole world may think is intelligent. If these two things are not there, you are not intelligent. You can be a millionaire or a billionaire. People can be making shabashi and mashallah to you, regarding you to be a very good businessman, one project after another, earning like nothing else. But if these two things are not there, if those two qualities are not there, then in the eyes of Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you are not intelligent. In fact, it comes in hadith, مَنْ لَا أَقْلَ لَهُ, you have no intelligence whatsoever. Never mind what society says. Two qualities, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, are the sign of a person's astuteness and are the signs of a person's intelligence. He said, أَكْثَرُهُمْ ذِكْرًا لِلْمَوْتِ. One who constantly remembers, مُجَ مَرْنَا هِ, I have to die. Whatever I am doing, whatever plans I am making, I have to die. أَكْثَرُهُمْ ذِكْرًا لِلْمَوْتِ وَأَشَدُّهُمْ إِسْتِعْدَادًا لَهُ. Second sign of intelligence and astuteness is the man who is constantly engaged. غَلْبَ on his mind is the preparation for mort and death. Sending ahead to akhirat. Sending ahead to akhirat. This is what the whole psychology of our work of Dawat and Tabligh is. Every day attach yourself to the masjid. Every day attach yourself to an environment of iman. Every day give Dawat. Constantly reminding yourselves. Monthly 3 days. Take out time. Leave the business. Leave the job. Leave your commitments. Yearly 40 days. Up to 4 months. This constant need and requirement for us to be constantly reminding ourselves. Otherwise, we get caught up. The speck of dust goes into the eye and the huge mountain that is in front of us. Where Allah Ta'ala tells us, فِي يَوْمٍ كَانَ مِقَدَارُهُ خَمْسِينَ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ. A life is coming. The first day is 50,000 years long. 50,000 years long. كَأَنَّهُمْ يَوْمَ يَرَوْنَهَا لَمْ يَلْبَثُوا إِلَّا عَشِيَةً أَوْ ضُحَاهَا. Allah says in the Quran that when that life is in front of you, when you actually see it, this life will look like one morning or one evening. We find that amongst the advices, like I said, this concept of actions having nasihat in it, words having nasihat and advice. We find one personality that the Quran highlights when it comes to advice is Luqman alayhi salam. Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةِ. We gave him great wisdom. And Allah Ta'ala speaks of the advice of Luqman alayhi salam in the Quran. According to Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, digressing, Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to say, كَانَ عَبْدًا حَبَشِيًا نَجَّارًا. He was Sudanese origin. He was a slave, his background was slave, carpenter. He was a black man. He had no social status or standing. One person who used to work as a slave with Luqman sees later how the people are gathering around him, honoring him, revering him, asking advice from him. So they say, he said to him that you were the same person who was toiling on the fields with me. Ordinary, nobody looked up towards any of us. How is it that you achieved this position, such status, that people are coming to you in droves seeking advice from you? So he's mentioned, he said two things. Like I said, I'm digressing, I'll come back to his advice. A little bit extra time we are taking, it's a Sunday. He said two qualities. Allah Ta'ala elevated me on the basis of two things. One, Sidqul Hadith, that whenever I spoke the truth. We want hikmat, we want wisdom, we want the closeness of Allah, that we want the mind and heart to be open. There are certain a'mal that destroy this and certain amal that bring that nuraniyat. One is Sidqul Hadith. He said, whenever I spoke, I spoke the truth. The second, وَصَّمْتُ عَمَّا لَا يَعْنِيهِ. I avariciously, very, very greatly, stringently stayed away from any speech that was irrelevant. Like it is mentioned about Luqman, he used to say, عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامَ الْعِلْمُ زَيْنٌ الْعِلْمُ زَيْنٌ وَالسُّكُوتُ سَلَامَةٌ. He would say, knowledge is beauty, and silence is protection. In other words, controlling this tongue, avoiding unnecessary speech. The days of Hajj have just passed. What does Allah highlight about Hajj? فَلَا رَفَثْ. One of the three great prohibitions of Hajj, لَا رَفَثْ. In other words, speech of sexual innuendo. In other words, control your tongue. Learn to control your tongue. This is something that will not just give you Jannah, will give you the highest Jannah. Learning to control the tongue. Unnecessary speech. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimullah used to say, Ashaddu dhunub, allati yastakhifuha an-nas. Al-kalamu fi ma la ya'nihi. He used to say the greatest and the most dangerous sin is the one which is not even regarded as a sin. Unnecessary speech. Sometimes it's ghibat, sometimes it's slander, sometimes it's background, sometimes it's backbiting about somebody. And today with the social media, this is being multiplied exponentially. Not ghibat of one person, now it's ghibat of thousands of people at one time. So we have to be very, very careful in this regard. You should say knowledge is beauty, silence is protection. And then he said, فَإِذَا نَتَقْتَ فَلَا تَكُنْ مِكْثَارًا. When you speak, don't speak excessively. مَا إِن نَدَمْتُ عَلَى سُكُوتِ مَرَّةً وَلَقَدْ نَدَمْتُ عَلَى الْكَلَامِ مِرَارًا. Luqman said, this is ajeeb, something we should ponder about. He said, I never ever regretted keeping silent. But there were many times when I spoke and I regretted. So this coming out in the path of Allah Ta'ala, one of the great trainings of this is abstention from unnecessary speech. Especially layani, things that have no relevance. Nevertheless, like I said, we're taking a little bit of extra time on this topic, dunya, akhirat, Luqman, that personality on whose hikmat the Quran places a seal. It's mentioned that when he was on his deathbed, he gathered his son and he said to him, that usika bisitti khisal. I'm going to tell you six things. And these six things are such, اِجْتَمَعَ عَلَيْهِ عِلْمُ الْأَوَّلِينَ وَالْآخِرِينَ. The combined knowledge of every revelation from the beginning to the end is contained in these six things, six advices he gave. Obviously, if we go into the detail of it, it's going to take very, very long, but very, very briefly, what was the advices that he gave, which, if we will practice upon it, these advices are such that it will change the entire life of a person. First advice he gave, he said, اِشْغَلْ قَلْبَكَ فِي الدُّنْيَا بِقَدْرِ بَقَائِكَ فِيهَا. Involve your heart and direct your efforts. Involve your heart and direct your efforts towards the dunya to the extent that you are going to remain in the dunya. Somebody is 20 years old, 40 years old, 60 years old, 50 years old. Ask each one, how long have you been in the dunya? Depending on his age, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. Everyone will give you a different answer. Then the next question, by how much time have you got left in this world? How much time have you got left in this world? There, everyone, the honest answer is there's absolutely no permanence whatsoever, no guarantee. No one will have the guts to say he'll remain alive till tomorrow also. So he said, involve yourself in this dunya, the heart and your effort to the extent that you are going to remain in the dunya. Second advice, wa'amal lil akhirah. Wa'amal lil akhirah. Make effort for akhirah. Prepare for akhirah. Akyasun nas, ahzamun nas. Rasulullah said, the intelligent man of my ummah, the astute person of my ummah is the one who is preparing for akhirah. Is the one who is conscious of his mort and his death. He remembers it all the time. So he said, wa'amal lil akhirah biqadri baqa'ika fiha. Prepare and do actions for akhirat to the extent that you are going to remain in akhirat. How long are we going to remain in akhirat? Khalidina fiha abada. Third advice, he said, waliyakun sa'yuka fi riqabi fi itqi raqabatika minan nar. Akhirat, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there's only two things in akhirat. Either Jannat or Jahannam. There's no third thing. It's either Jannat or Jahannam. One plus minus 1,000 verses in the Quran. Allah describes Jannat, Allah describes Jahannam. And Jahannam, really, if you have to look at the verses of the Quran, the effect that it would have on Sahaba, the mizaj, environment of Medina Munawwara. Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah Ali in his Hayat al-Sahaba, a whole chapter he devotes to this. Just brief example. Allah's Rasul passes by one youngster. Nabi Sallallahu is under the shade of a tree, so the youngster is not aware of the presence of Rasulullah. What is he doing? Takes off his kurta, lies on the burning sand of the desert, and he says, Dhuqi ya nafs, naru jahannama ashaddu harra. He said, oh my nafs, taste now. Hot boiling sand of the desert. Places his bare back on it and he says, taste now. The fire of Jahannam is hotter than this. You sleep like a corpse at night, you waste your day. Now taste. In other words, this conviction of the azab of Jahannam, conviction of the reward of Jannat. So Luqman, the third advice, he said, وَلْيَكُنْ سَعْيُكَ فِي رِقَابِ فِي إِتْقِ رَقَبَتِكَ مِنَ النَّارِ. Devote your entire effort until you are not guaranteed, until you are not guaranteed in akhirat that you are safe from Jahannam and you are entering into Jannah. Till that time, do not stop making effort to save yourself from Jahannam. So this constant dua for Jannah, dua for protection from Jahannam, the effort of akhirat. The fourth advice he gave, وَأَتِعْ رَبَّكَ بِقَدْرِ حَاجَتِكَ إِلَيْهِ. Apply yourself in neki, in doing good deeds, in obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obey Allah means to earn Jannah, to make your akhirat. Obey Allah, أَتِعْ رَبَّكَ. How much? He said, to the extent that you need Allah. There's no way of quantifying this. To survive, we need food. To survive, we need water. To survive, we need air. Every breath we are in need. Every one of these things is from Allah. Antumul fuqara'u ila Allah. Allah says, you are faqir. You are beggars. You are bankrupt. You are zero. You are totally and completely dependent on Allah. So Luqman says, obey Allah to the extent that you are dependent on Allah. أَتِعْ رَبَّكَ بِقَدْرِ حَاجَتِكَ إِلَيْهِ وَلْيَكُنْ جُرْأَتُكَ عَلَى الْمَعَاصِي بِقَدْرِ صَبْرِكَ مِنَ النَّارِ. And as is nafs and shaitan to convince you, dunya is forever, mort is still far away, I can do this, I can do that. So he says, when this impulse has to come, then you become brave. You become, what they say, dilair in Urdu. You become brave. You start advancing towards the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Luqman says, give in to this impulse. Become brave, become courageous to look at the daughters of others. Listen to haram music, for example. Get involved in riba, lies, treachery. Let the azan fall on deaf ears. All the various temptations. He says, become brave in that, to the extent that you can make sabr on the azab of Jahannam. What is Jahannam? Fire. today, when it comes to fire and heat, one of the most dreadful and frightening things of this dunya is fire and heat. When you look at a fire, hot stove, can you place your finger on it? How long can you keep the finger on the hot stove? So he said, let your jurat and your courage to disobey Allah Ta'ala be to the extent that you can bear the heat of Jahannam. A'adhan Allah minna, we cannot possibly bear that. And then the last advice, the sixth advice, which Luqman gives his son. And, like, just to recap before I mention that, he said that اجتمع عليه علم الأولين والآخرين. That in this advice is the knowledge of every revelation of Allah Ta'ala. وَإِذَا أَرَدْتَ أَن تَعْصِيَ مَوْلَاكَ فَطْلُبْ مَكَانًا لَا يَرَاكَ. That if your, my beloved son, if your mind is made up, and I'm going to carry on the way I'm carrying on. I'm not going to heed the reminders. I'm not going to heed the call, the constant reminder, the constant wake-up call that is there around us, reminding us by prepare for akhirat. Stay away from Allah's disobedience. Bring the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in your life. Bring Allah's obedience in your life. He says, وَإِذَا أَرَدْتَ. If your mind is made up, antasiya maulaka, mujhe guna karna hi, I'm going to disobey Allah Ta'ala, regardless. Then he said, my son, I request you one thing. Find some place where Allah can't see you. Find some place where Allah can't. Alam tara anna Allah ya'lamu ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard. Ma yakunu min najwa thalathatin illa huwa rabi'uhum. ولا خمسة إلا هو سادسهم ولا أدنى من ذلك ولا أكثر إلا هو معهم أينما كانوا ثم ينبئهم بما عملوا يوم القيامة إن الله بكل شيء عليم. One verse Allah says, do you not see and realize that Allah has knowledge of everything in the heavens and the earth? No three people are alone, but Allah is the fourth. No four, but Allah is the fifth. Not less, not more. But Allah is with you wherever you are. And the day is coming, ثُمَّ يُنَبِّئُهُمْ بِمَا عَمِلُوا. Allah is going to inform you of every one of your actions. إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ. Allah has knowledge of everything. You know the famous incidents. Umar radiallahu ta'ala, late one night, patrolling the streets of Medina, overhears a conversation. Mother is advising her daughter, خَلِّتِ الْمَاءَ بِاللَّبَنَ أُمْزُجِ الْلَبَنَ بِالْمَاءَ. Mix water with the milk. نَهَا عُمَرْ أَنْ فِعْلِ هَذَا الْغَشْ. The young girl says to the mother that Amirul Mumineen Umar has prohibited us from engaging in this act of deception to earn our livelihood. So the mother responds, Umar can't see us. Umar can't see us. What is the response? In kana Umar la yarana fa inna Allah yarana. Alam ya'lam bi anna Allah yara. Umar can't see us, but where are we going to hide from Allah? Where are we going to hide from Allah? Sometimes you traveling late at night, 1-2 o'clock in the morning, on an open highway. Yet you're observing the speed limit. Why? Because of the fear of the camera. That camera can see you. So when there's no one, not a soul in sight, you're still conscious. You still want to obey the law. You still want to stay within the parameters. So وَإِذَا أَرَدْتَ أَن تَعْصِيَ مَوْلَاكَ فَطْلُبْ مَكَانًا لَا يَرَاكَ. If your mind is made up to disobey Allah, then find some place where Allah can't see you. We find that the khulasa and crux of this advice that he gave is this conviction of akhirat. Conviction of akhirat. Preparation, should be in proportion to how pressing and how large the endeavor one is going to take. For example, if you're going for 3 days in Jamaat, how much you prepare? You're going for 40 days, how much is the preparation? Someone is going 1 year in the path of Allah, how much preparation? Akhirat, how much should we be preparing for? How long is Akhirat? How permanent is Akhirat? So this was one of the fundamental efforts of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. And this is a sabak that is resounded again and again in Quran and Ahadith. And particularly, you see all these chapters where we are discussing how many times Sahaba say, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was leaving Baqi, entering Baqi, leaning against the wall of Baqi. We find that this is part of the mizaj and temperament of Madina Munawwara, this constant connection with Maut, with the graveyard, and the constant reminder of it. Allah give us tawfiq, subhanahu wa ta'ala.